We've been talking about the family, and we're going to look at a verse of Scripture tonight in a few minutes. We're going to look at a verse of Scripture that I really thought that I would never use in a sermon. Because it's really pretty brutal, you know. And we've been talking about the family, and tonight I'm going to talk about the women. And this verse is really brutal to women. But before you get real angry, let me finish what I'm going to say, okay? I think once you understand that, it'll be a help to you. We're going to talk about the right kind of lady. My wife came back from the ladies' meeting, and she brought this book. And I don't know why, but I picked up this book and started reading it by Kathy Coral. This is really, really a good book. And Kathy Coral, I think her spiritual gift would be prophecy. So she don't pull any punches. She just kind of tells you like it is. But I've been reading through this book, and it's been a very, very good book. But before we do that, I'd like to start, and you guys turn to Ecclesiastes, if you would. Y'all turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, and in chapter number 7. And let me just read this book to kind of get us on track here. Genesis, and we've read it several times over the last few weeks. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 2 and in verse number 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone, and I will make him an helpmeet for him." And so God put man on the earth, and he had a purpose for man. Man's purpose was to dress and keep the garden. And God said, it is not good for him to be that way. So he says, I'm going to make him a help. And that word meet means suitable for him. That really completes him, if you would. Really think about it. God gave woman for a specific purpose. God put man down here for a purpose. And the woman's purpose is to help the man for the purpose God has given him. So working together, we are working together to do what? God's purpose. We're to accomplish God's purpose. And really, for most people, it takes two people to do that. I think we looked in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, and we talked about some of those things earlier in one of our earlier messages and stuff. But we're going to look in Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, and I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to put it in context for you, okay? I'm going to read it, then I'm going to read you a statement by Miss Kathy, and then I'm going to dwell on that a little bit. Notice Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 25, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said this starting in verse number 25. "I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness." And notice what he says, and he said, I sought out wisdom. And he says in verse number 26, he says this, "And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this I have found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account." So he said, I've counted one by one. Verse number 28, he says, "Which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not one man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among these have I not found." In verse number 29, he says, "Lo, these only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have wrought out many inventions." Now that's a pretty brutal statement. He said, I found one man out of a thousand, but out of a thousand I couldn't find one good woman. Now, does that mean there's no good women? No. Think about who's writing this. Who is writing this? Solomon. And Solomon, at this point in his life, where was he at this point in his life? Good point or a bad point? He was actually in a bad point in a good point. He had finally come to the place to realize what life without God was. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, here's when you put it in context, he says in verse number 14, "I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." He said everything under the sun is vanity, it's empty, and it's vexation of spirit. Now, Solomon had how many wives? 700. How many concubines? 300. 1,000 women. And he said, out of 1,000 women, I couldn't find one good one. You know what Solomon's problem was, don't you? He just picked the wrong women. You know, you'd think out of 1,000, the guy would get lucky or something, wouldn't you? But you got to realize, Solomon's marriages, most of his marriages, were they because he was in love with them? They were marriages of convenience because if he did like the world did, and if he would marry someone from another kingdom, if he would marry a king's daughter, then that king probably wouldn't attack him. So they were political marriages. How do you think she felt about that? Yeah. How many of you like to be one of a thousand to your husband? You know, pretty miserable place to be. But you know, there's a lot of stuff like that. Why should you get married? Why should you be looking for someone? I read a couple of stories this week, and one of them was a story of a lady whose dad was a millionaire, and he owned this company, and she just was very frugal, spent lots of money and stuff. And there was a guy who was a very hard worker, and he was the janitor. He cleaned up. But watching this girl come and go, he just fell in love with this owner's daughter. And one day he thought he would open up his heart, and he would share with her how in love with her he was. And you know, she just told him, she said, I don't think you understand. She said, I spend more money in a week than you make in a month. She said, I get whatever I want. There is no way that you can give me what I'm used to having, and I want you to know something, I'm never going to have anything to do with you. Well, is that the way? So you look for somebody who can give you everything you want? The man was heartbroken. He literally quit the company and he left. And a few years later, that girl was walking in a mall, and she ran face to face with this man who she had turned down. And being the vain woman that she was, she started telling him about the man that she was married to and how much money he made and all of this thing he did. And he said, well, I am glad everything worked out well for you. And she said, well, you see, everything worked out because there's no way you could have given me what my husband is giving me today. And about that time, guess who walked up? Her husband. And he saw the man he was talking to, and he called his name and said, man, it is so good to see you. And he said, honey, I would like for you to meet my boss. And he introduced her to his boss, and they talked for just a minute, and he left. He said the story goes that there was some woman in his life who broke his heart, and he's never ever sought for another relationship because his love was so deep for that woman. And so he gave himself and he built this business, and he said he's sought after all over the world for consultation, and said he has many, many millions of dollars. What about that? You know, maybe he would have been a good man to marry, you know. Not 100% sure, but I would think maybe he might have been the right man to marry. There was another story that I read this week, and just reading, looking through stories for illustrations about this, is there was this guy, and he had a friend, and his friend had a girlfriend, and they spent a lot of time together, and he really liked his friend's girlfriend, but he never tried to steal his friend's girlfriend or anything, but he thought she deserved better because he knew that though this guy was his friend, he wasn't a real honorable man, and so they were seeing each other for a while, and then he cheated on his girlfriend, if you would, and she found out he was seeing other women and everything, and it broke her heart. And so after a period of time, the man thought, I'm just going to go tell her how much she means to me. And so he went and he sat down and he talked to this woman and told her how much she meant to him and how much he loved her. And so they started seeing each other, and in a little while they made plans to get married, and he was so happy. He did everything he could for this woman. He even gave her parents tickets to fly her out and bring her to meet him and everything. And they had this wedding planned, and it was all set up, and it was beautiful, and the car was coming down that was going to deliver her to the wedding, and it was all decorated. There was even the flowers on the handles of the car and stuff, and pulls up into the thing, and the only person there is the driver. The woman's not there, and the driver gets up and said, she said to give you this. And here he is at his wedding, and he opens up this note, and she says, I am so sorry for what I've done to you, but the only person I really love is my former boyfriend, and he showed back up and is back in the scene. And so and she left him, and he was heartbroken. And a couple of years later, there was a knock at his door, and guess who it was? It was that woman. And guess what her boyfriend had done? He left her out to dry again. And now she wanted to come back to him. I won't go in the whole story, but you know the biggest problem? Young people, listen to me. The biggest problem you're going to make is choosing the wrong person. And you need to know, if you're going to have a successful marriage as the woman who's going to be the helpmeet to help him fulfill the role of God in his life, there's some things you really need to know. You need to know the direction that he's headed in. You know, I tell men, I counsel people all the time. I have actually counseled men who said God has called them to preach, but their wives did not want their husbands in the ministry if they were already married. You know what my counsel is? Don't go in the ministry. Because you cannot go in the ministry if your wife is not on board. I told my wife when God called me to preach. My wife didn't marry a preacher. Matter of fact, my wife didn't even marry somebody who's living for the Lord. But my wife has always just, you know, she has never, to the best of my knowledge, we haven't fought very much our whole lives. But when God called me to preach, the first person I talked to was my pastor, I think, if my memory serves me correct, Brother, what was his name? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But I talked to my pastor. He was a great man of God. And he said, the first thing you need to do is you need to find out if your wife is on board with this. He said, being in the ministry is not a easy thing. And he even said she could talk to ladies whose husbands were in the ministry. But I talked to my wife and she said, honey, whatever God has called you to do, you just do it. And I'll be right there with you. And so I've counseled people. I couldn't do what I do without my wife. She is such an amazing helpmeet with what she helps me accomplish, with how she helps me accomplish God's purpose for my life. There's things like today we were going to make a hospital visit. It was a lady that was in the hospital, and she said, would you like for me to go with you? And I say what I always say, honey, it's just up to you if you'd like to. And you know what? Before we went, she put together some food, and we took food and to the person that was with them. We gave them food. We visited in the hospital. We had prayer with them, and she's just always been that way. You know, when we found out Melanie was leaving, I said, Deborah, I just really think I'm going to have to put you in that class for a while until we figure out what we're going to do. And, you know, she just immediately, she's been coming up to me and saying, telling me what she's going to do for the next several weeks. She's already planning. She's already thinking about it. And she did say one thing she messed up on. She said, I need to have more stuff. I got done a little bit early and stuff, but she just immediately jumps in and starts doing those things. And when she sees that, but listen, I have a purpose in life, and right now my purpose in life is to pastor Calvary Baptist Church, and her purpose in the life is to help me obtain that, and it's just been absolutely wonderful with that. So we're talking about the right kind of lady that we need to be, and there's many examples in the scripture of bad ladies, but I want you to turn now to Proverbs chapter number 31. Proverbs chapter number 31 tonight, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but tonight I want to give you some characteristics of this lady in Proverbs chapter number 31. Normally the only time we look at this lady or we study about this lady is Mother's Day, but it ought to be preached more often. And notice what it says here in verse number 10. The Bible says in verse number 10, I hope you ladies, you young ladies, and you young men underline some things in your Bible and that you make it a point. Because the Bible asks, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a woman of virtue? Now that word virtue means moral strength and good character. And can I tell you, if it was hard to find back in the days of these days, you think it's easier or harder today? Harder day. And I'm not even standing up here and telling you that they don't want to be that. You know what the problem is? They don't know how to be a virtuous woman. And why do they not know how to be a virtuous woman? Because nobody teaches what a virtuous woman is today. I'm telling you, these young women and stuff today and the things that they get themselves into, it's sad that they don't have to be there all the time. If somebody would just take time to love them and to teach them some things. One of the people in the scripture who are required, the Bible says the older women ought to teach the younger women. And it ought not just be the pastor that is doing that thing. And to be honest with you, the pastor's wife is not the only one who can do it. It is the responsibility of every lady in this church to help these young women to understand. And I like what it says next. Who can find a virtuous woman? And look at the value of a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. Her price is far above rubies. There was a little girl one day. And it was Christmas time, and she wanted to buy her sister a special gift. She didn't have much money, and she would go window shopping. And one day she stood outside of a window, and she saw this beautiful necklace in this window. And she went in and she told the man, she said, I'd like to buy that necklace in the window for my sister. And the man kind of looked at the little girl, and he said, that's a pretty expensive necklace. He said, do you have any money? She said, oh, yeah. He said, well, it's cost a lot of money. She said, I got a lot of money. She takes her little purse and she dumps out all of her change on that counter. And that man looks at her. Of course, there's nowhere near enough money to buy that. And the man says, why do you want to buy your sister that gift? And she tells him the story of her sister. Her parents have died, and her sister is working and raising her. And she said, my sister does everything she can to take care of me. And she said, I just want to give my sister something special. And the young man says, well, let me count your money. Counts it out, and he says, well, you have just enough money to pay for that necklace. And so he wraps the necklace up, and he sends her off, the little girl off. This is a true story, by the way. Sends her off with a necklace. On Christmas Eve, he's open half a day. And right before shop closes, around noontime, this young lady comes walking in, and she's got this paper that's torn up, and she came in and said, I think there's been a mistake. And he said, what is it? She said, did you sell this to someone? And he looked at it, and he said, yes, ma'am, that was in my shop, and I did sell it. She said, how much did they pay for it? And he said, well, ma'am, I don't mean to be rude to you, but that's really none of your business. That is between her and me. And she said, I don't know much about this kind of stuff, but she said, these look like they're real. And he said, they're not the most expensive gems in the world, but he said, they are real, and they are expensive gems. And she said, I know my sister could not afford that. And he said this, he said, she could afford it because she gave everything she had. She paid everything for that because she wanted to honor this woman. You know what? I just got a feeling. I never met the lady. Hopefully we get to heaven one day. We'll see her there. And we'll be able to talk about this story with the person it happened to. But you know what? I just got a feeling she was a virtuous woman. She was a woman who took her responsibility seriously. Can you imagine as a young lady that you set aside your life and your desires and your goals to raise a sibling or a sister or something like that? Listen, can I tell you, a woman like that, her price is far above rubies. I am not a rich man in the terms of worldly possessions and stuff, but I'm very wealthy with the woman that I have. Some people call this section of the Bible the unattainable woman. In other words, it's the perfect woman that nobody will ever reach and nobody will ever obtain to. But can I tell you, there are some characteristics in here tonight that you young ladies, I'm not going to go through all of the characteristics, and I'm not even going to continue on next week to go through it. Next week I'm going to preach on the men a little bit. But tonight I just want to look at some of the beginning here about some things about this kind of woman. And I challenge you, especially you young ladies, that you purpose in your heart that you're going to be this kind of lady. That it's not going to be all about you. And you're going to work together as a team with the man that God gives you. If he gives you, it brings a man into your life for you to live. And so that you, the two of you working together can meet the purpose that God has for your life. Let's pray tonight. Father, we do thank you for all you've done. And Lord, this is a beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. And Lord, as we really need to realize that it may take a while to find, for the young ladies to find the right men and for the young men to find the right ladies. But Lord, it's worth it to wait and find the right person. And dear God, we ought to have some characteristics in that person that we're looking for. And so, Lord, I pray tonight that you would just bless and help us, especially with the young people that are here tonight, that they would give thought to this matter of who they're going to spend the rest of their lives with. And they would carefully consider it and even now be praying that they would pick the right person. Lord, please bless and help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, notice what the Bible says, number one, about this virtuous woman. Number one, the Bible says the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. You know, it's a sad thing. I do a lot of counseling, as I mentioned, and I counsel with couples who are having problems, and many times there's a woman who does not trust her husband because of some things he's done, and husbands who don't trust their wives. You know what? It is really, really nice with all of the problems and all of the things that are going on in the world is I want to tell you something. My heart does safely trust in my wife. If you come by my house, if a man comes, my wife is not comfortable when men come by my house and I'm not there. If I'm there, she is hospitable and all this other stuff, but she is very, very uncomfortable if I am not there. You say, how does that make you feel? Absolutely wonderful. Because my wife doesn't even want there to be a hint of anything being said about things. And my heart does safely trust in my wife. Notice he said so that he shall have no need of spoil. The context here, when you're talking about spoil, what do you think about when you think about spoil in the Bible? What do you think of? You think of armies attacking, and you think after it's all, the village has been destroyed, what do they do with all the stuff that's left? They divide it out. It is called spoil. Now let me ask you a question. Was the spoil a part of normal pay? No, it was extra. He says there's no need of spoil. You know what that means? If any extra comes in, we don't have to worry about that because she has learned to live within her means. Ladies, let me tell you something. You get married, you may not be able to have all the shoes that you had at one time. Number one, you don't need them. How many women have more than 50 pairs of shoes? Raise your hand. You don't have to do that. But you may not get everything that you want. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is that you use wisely, and your husband can trust in you that you will take care of the things he has. I think these characteristics would also fit for a husband. You know, I'm not going to go out and buy a gun when the rent needs to be paid, or buy a gun when this needs to be paid and stuff. And so hopefully the heart of this virtuous woman, or the kind of woman that you ought to strive to be, is you ought to strive to be a woman that her husband does safely trust in her. You ought to be the kind of woman who will take what you have and stretch it out. You know, my wife is absolutely amazing. We've been through many, many times together. We went through Bible college, and that was a rough time financially, and my wife is just amazing with making things stretch, you know. She is so good about that, and I thank God for her. And, you know, listen, I was so blessed of God because I wasn't looking for the right kind of woman. I wasn't even looking for a woman to go on record saying it, but God knew I was ignorant. Those of you who are brought up in church, you young people that are here tonight, you could get in a lot of trouble with who you pick, because being in a message like this and understanding the importance of being able to pick out someone and pick out the person that God has for you is very, very important. Miss Diane, I know in her Sunday school class, has shared with them the book, Stay in the Castle. And I love that story about staying in the castle. And it's about a king's daughter who, as she grows up, he tries to keep her in the castle and protect her from harm's way and keep her away from certain things. And as a young child, she does good, but then she gets older and she starts to want to see what's going on out in the village and everything. And she sees the young people gaily going to the parties, and all of these things are happening. And the king says, you just stay here. There's a plan for you. We have a plan for you. Just stay in the castle. And one night she sneaks out of the castle and she meets this dashing young man who whisk her off her feet, and he takes her to parties and all of these other things. And before long, she's marrying this man. And then she finds out she's married a bum. And one day, she's looking out the window of her house, and she sees the castle where her father is. And here comes this handsome man on this white horse as he gallops up to the castle. And this is the man who the king had arranged many, many years ago to wed his daughter. And it's a prince of high character. And one of these days she's going to be a queen and all this other stuff. But she threw that away because of the decision she made. Please, young people, mark some things in your Bible. Let me tell you, be the kind of person that from the night you get married, that your husband knows he can safely trust in you. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. What a blessing that verse is talking about there. You know, I don't have to wonder about what my wife's not out doing evil, you know. She just doesn't go there. I'm telling you what, you know what me and my wife would be considered today? We're fuddy-duddies. You know, we're fuddy-duddies. We listen, she's my best friend. I'd just as soon stay at home with her as anybody else. She's not going to entice me to go and do things that I should not do. And you know, she doesn't want to get out into the world and live according to the world and stuff. She is a person who walks about trying to do good. She's an amazing woman, and she is a blessing to me. And she's that way. The reason she's that way is because she's a woman who in 1987, when we started to get right with the Lord, she made some decisions to get right with the Lord. And she followed some godly women, and she sat under godly women for some counsel, and it's been absolutely amazing. When I went through Bible college, she took Bible classes. They would give them to her free. She didn't get a degree, but she would go to night school and take Bible classes to learn what she could and to be a blessing and to be a help. And she has used the experiences of her life to try to help get people out of evil, not to get people in evil. I am so glad that I have the wife that I've had today. I just can't even imagine. Can you imagine one day God came down and told Hosea, if you've ever read the book of Hosea, God told Hosea, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go marry a woman of whoredom. I want you to go marry a harlot. And you know what? He went and married her, and guess what? He loved her. And yet she was constantly doing evil. I sat down the other day and just read the whole book. The whole book. And here is a woman who did evil, and he kept loving her. And you know what? When she went on the slave block, when she had lived this riotous life to the place to where nobody wanted her anymore, and she went on the slave block and was going to be sold as a slave, do you care to guess who showed up at the auction and bought her back? It was him. He was the one who did that. Man, I thank God that my wife has this characteristic of doing good and not doing evil. You say, is she going to do it all the days of her life? Well, you know, she's, how old are you? 57? She'll be 57 here in 20-some-odd days, you know. She'll be 57. She hadn't done it all the days of her life, but I think if she makes it to 57, there's a good choice chance she'll finish out well. She's just too tired to work to go to the evil way anymore. You know? Notice what else the Bible says. The Bible says she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Looks, and she's not lazy. My wife's not a lazy person. Guess who normally the first person up in the house is? Deborah. Guess who normally the last adult in the house in bed is? Deborah. It's kind of the way it works, you know. Now, there will be some days. I beat her up on Sunday morning. No, wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. I get up before her. Got to be careful, you know. No telling what people will say. I get up before her on Sunday morning. And I get up before her some days. But she normally gets up before me. And stuff. She's the one who puts on the coffee. And I just got to be honest, she's really nice when she comes in. And she comes in and she doesn't tell me the coffee's ready. You know what she normally does? She comes in with a cup of coffee. And that's just such a blessing. She's not lazy. She's willing to work. And the Bible says she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. You know, my wife does this auction stuff. And I don't know how she does it. But, you know, she's made money doing this auction stuff, and she will sell that stuff and add to the family income, and it's just been absolutely amazing. Listen, there's a lot of ladies, a lot of women today, and a lot of men that are idle, they're lazy, and they won't get anything done. That's not the kind of person that you want in your life. The Bible says this: she is like the merchant ship; she bringeth her food from afar. I don't know exactly what that means, but let me tell you what my wife will do. My wife has made a menu for this week and of the food that she wants. And sometimes my wife will take a trip up to Effingham, and she'll go up to Effingham, and she'll go to Audie's, and she'll go to where the sales are, and she'll buy food at the most reasonable price that she can, and she will bring it in, and she will make wonderful meals and spend very little amount of money. We were talking, somebody was saying the other day that somebody, I don't know how it was, but somebody said they got like $1,000 a month in food stamps. We don't spend $1,000 a month in food stamps, but we probably eat better than those people Bosco at Tux was telling me he put somebody's card in there, and they were buying a bunch of junk from it, and he said they had over $1,000 on their link card. I'm like, and they go into Hux and they buy junk with it. Just absolutely amazing. And it's just crazy. That whole system is crazy. It's political. You know, you can go in and buy a Coca-Cola with a link card, but you know you can't buy a cup of coffee? Because it's cooked. You can't buy anything cooked. You can go in and buy candy bars and cakes and all that other stuff, but you couldn't go over and buy a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. It's just absolutely phenomenal. My wife works so hard to come together and give what she can with to put together our meals and stuff, and it's such a blessing. I know even sometimes it's frustrating when she cooks this wonderful meal and Rock gets out and eats a bowl of cereal. I think there's sometimes she wants to kill us in Jesus' name. But she is such a wonderful woman about that. It says she ariseth and does all of that. You know what? I'm not going to go through any more of these. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She's very industrious in the way that she does the things that she does. And you know what all of this is? All of these characteristics go to give us an example of what a biblical definition of love is. There's not a doubt in my mind that my wife loves me. There's not a doubt in my mind that my wife loves my children. There's maybe some doubts in our children's mind whether she loves them or not, because she also will take a firm stand if she feels like she needs to do that. But even that is love. But you know what? When our kids are down and out, and we can, we will help them with some things. You know what? I read a biblical definition of love that Kathy Coral wrote, and I really liked it. It said, doing what is best for the object of my love. Doing what is best for the object of my love. Isn't that what God did for us? In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did what was best for the object of his love. And who was the object of his love? We were. We were the object of his love. God said it is not good for man to be alone. God said he needs a helpmeet. And so God made us a helpmeet. For Adam, he didn't have a big choice, did he? But he got the one he needed. It was made perfect for him. You know, I believe God has a choice for all of us. We had, you know, brother Dave Brown from up in Central Baptist Church in Decatur. He has a daughter, and her name is Liz. And Liz is happily married now and doing well. But Liz was an amazing young lady. She just was just crazy. Any of you that, even the ladies who went to the meeting, she was the one who just was totally uninhibited when the skits and stuff they did. She's just been that way. She just jumps right in and does what she needs to. She taught piano at Pensacola Christian College. She's a tremendous, tremendous pianist. She's a tremendous, tremendous vocalist. And guess what she wanted? All she wanted was to get married. Brother Brown, you know, he'd say, Brother Evans, you got any women in your church or any men in your church that needs a wife? I got a great wife, but I only want a godly man for her. And she went much longer than many people would have thought she would have. But with patience, sometimes I'm sure it was tough, she waited, and now she's married to a pastor, and she's serving God, and she's exactly what he needed, and he's exactly what she needed. And can I tell you, I believe today she is so glad that she waited. Up where Julie went to school, up in Providence Baptist College, up in Elgin, Illinois, Brother Brooke Gomez's wife died, and yet God in his grace and mercy had a lady who was in his church, had never been married, and she had waited. She was in her 40s and was working with Brother Gomez after his wife died to create a small room to honor his wife. And as they got to know each other, as they were doing that, they fell in love. And they got married. And you know what? She was so glad that she waited until she was in her 40s for the person that God had for her. It's really funny to see them together because he's this big, rough Cajun, and she's this small, petite, pretty little thing. Can I tell you something? I wouldn't have put them together in a million years. But to see her sitting out there here, this big rough rascal is, and you know what? He just needed a little sweet, kind woman. And what an amazing thing it is. Listen, we need to be the kind of lady and the kind of man that God wants us to be. And in order to be that, we must get in the Bible. We'll close tonight with a word of prayer. We'll give you a chance, if you'd like to come. You know, I don't know what you young people in the room, and we have several young ladies, we have several young men here tonight. I don't know what you want out of life, but if you want to get married, let me ask you this question. Has there ever been a time in your life when you just went and said, Lord, I do want to get married, and I pray that you would give me wisdom and that you would guide me and direct me? And can I tell you, God has given you some things to help you. Number one, God's given you a mom and a dad. And you can go to them and ask counsel and guidance for them. And moms and dads, if there's a problem with that person, you pray about it and you make the, you know, sometimes you have to tell them. Julie gave a testimony the other night and she said that she allowed me to make a hard decision for her. And it was a tough decision about, because Julie's been wanting to get married since she was four, you know. I mean, she thought she was ready, you know, since she was four. That's all she wants. And how many of y'all know Julie is not the most patient person in the world? Love her to death, but she wants it. Guess when she wants it? Now. You know, and you know, and really, to be honest with you, all of us kind of thought that her and Ethan, that was the direction it was heading in. And even Ethan thought that way, but there were some problems with his parents, and I'm not saying anything bad about their parents. They just didn't think it was the right thing, and I'm okay with that, you know. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. But Julie sometimes feels like she's just been abandoned, bless her heart. But if she will trust God and if she'll trust her mom and dad who loves her. I'll close with this story. There was a man at our church when I was going to Bible college at Temple Baptist Church, Crown College. There was a man by the name of Esco Gordon. Esco Gordon, and I probably have shared this story with you again, but Esco Gordon was one of the deacons at the church, and he was really a godly man. I used to love to go out door knocking with him, and him and his wife Peggy was the one who led my wife to the Lord, and so they have a special place in my heart. And they had a son, and his son still lived at home, and his son was a very, very, made super good money in the construction field, was very wise with his money, and had saved his money for a long time. And he met a young girl from the college, and they started seeing each other. And now, his name was Kelly Gordon. Kelly was in his 20s, and one day his dad came to him and said, you know, Kelly, he said, I've been praying, and I really don't feel like it's God's will for you and her to be together. And Kelly was just crushed because he had such a... But as a 20, and like I said, I don't think, he wasn't like he's 21 or 22. He's like 24, 25, 26, somewhere through there. And but he surrendered to his father's will. He said, you know, Dad, I was just really at the point of thinking about asking her to marry me. And so he broke off the relationship. It hurt the girl. And they didn't see each other for several months because she went home. And several months later, they were at a meeting. And Kelly, they saw each other again. They were both at a meeting. Neither one knew they were there. Kelly went back to his dad, and he said, Dad, he said, I'm just going to ask you to do something for me. Would you pray about this again? Because he said, I've seen her again, and all of the feelings are still there. And Esco looked at Kelly and said, you know, Kelly, he said, I was just praying just a little while ago, and I just wondered if maybe I didn't make a mistake. He said, let me tell you something, Kelly. You have shown yourself to be so mature that here's what I'm, if you just tell me what God's got for you and I'll support you in that. And in a few months later, they were engaged and married, and to the best of my knowledge, are living happily ever after. God's given you a parent, hopefully. If you don't have a godly dad or a godly parent, God's given you a pastor and maybe, you know, a godly friend. There's people that you can go to for counsel and you can go to help, to help you in making these decisions about that. And you ladies, maybe you haven't got what you want in the man. You love the person, but it's not the godly person you want. Then you follow 2 Peter 2:2. gives you good instructions on what you need to do, and it just tells you to live godly. And where are you going to find out how to live godly? You go to Proverbs chapter number 31, and it'll tell you exactly how to live. So tonight we're going to have a word of prayer. If God has spoken your heart, maybe some of you young people tonight would just like to come and pray a couple of things to God. Maybe you'd like to come and pray that God would help you to remain pure before God until you pick the right one. Young men, young women alike. Maybe you just want to come and pray for your children, your grandchildren tonight, somebody that you know that needs a lot of prayer about picking the right person so that when they come together, it'll be to two people gathered together to accomplish the person of God. Would you stand, the purpose of God? Would you stand tonight as we pray? Father, we do pray that you'd bless and help us tonight. Lord, I do pray for the young people of our church. I pray, dear God, number one, they would not get ahead of your will. Lord, that sometimes we think we know better than you. And so I pray tonight that you would help each and every young person here to make that decision that they're going to wait until they know that it's the person. And Lord, they know it's the person when their authorities in their life all come together. They've all prayed about it and they've agreed on it. I pray that our young ladies would spend time studying Proverbs chapter number 31, there that last portion of scripture about what a virtuous woman is, and put those things into her life. I pray our young men would get into the scripture to find out what kind of young man they need to be and to be preparing themselves for that wife that you have for them, Lord, so that they can come together with a single purpose of serving you and accomplishing what you need, you want them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed.